Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, we're in our series called Into the Horizon. For those of you who don't know, I realize I didn't introduce myself. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And we're so glad. We've got so many people in the house who are here for the first time. Can we give it up for all of our guests? Just know you're welcome anytime to come and hang with us and come worship with us. We're so glad you could join us here today. I'm going to, at this time, get my brother Michael to come and read the scripture. Yeah, come on up, Mike. And I like his voice better. So give it up for Mike, everybody.
Thanks, Nelly. Thanks. All right. So we're going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 7. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier and the bearers and stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country.
Lord, we thank you that your word is alive just as it was when it was written. In 2019, here in Australia, Lord God, we thank you that your word is living and breathing, sharper than any two-edged sword, so we're able to recognize just the stuff that's in our lives that we need to align with you. But you're a God who speaks to your children. We thank you that you're our Father. We pray you would meet us here beyond just the ability for me to talk and communicate. I pray, God, we would meet you here in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. The title of my message today is Meet Me in the Ugly. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're not ugly, but I'll meet you. Be careful. So we're going through the series called Into the Horizon. And basically the idea behind the series, that we're in the third week, we're going through the vision and values of our church. And for those of you who are new here, just so you know what we're about, we as Every Nation Brisbane, we're a part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. We're not an isolated church unto ourselves. We're a part of a global movement of churches. I believe we're somewhere in the vicinity of close to 600 churches around the world and 80 nations. So some of those churches are big. Some of those churches meet in houses in restricted nations. But we're a part of a spiritual family. The values of this house, we've been the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about worship. And we talked a little bit about what worship is. Worship is not just singing. Worship is not just what we're doing here today in terms of congregating to hear somebody talk about God. But worship is a lifestyle that is dedicated as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. So it's a life that is dedicated to God. That's what worship is. I did want to just ask for your prayer with regards to worship, because a lot of what I talk about with regards to Into the Horizon is to talk about some of the exciting things that we got going on here in Every Nation Brisbane. And right now, we are working on our first recording of music that's going to come out of Every Nation Brisbane. So be in prayer for that, everybody. We're going to be producing songs that come out of this house. That really ring true in terms of the heartbeat of what God's doing in this church. Can I get an amen from somebody who's excited about that? But today we're going to be talking about the second value, which is outreach. And when we're talking about outreach here in this context, we're talking about how God definitely calls us beyond ourselves to reach out with the love of Christ. We are passionate about reaching those who don't know Jesus with the good news of the cross, whether in our own backyard or on the mission field. We count it a privilege to take social responsibility for our campuses, our community, our city, and our nation. That's what we're about. And when we talk about outreach, we talk about reaching out in compassion. We talk about reaching out with regards to evangelism. And we also talk about reaching out and living a missional life. Because when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we see somebody who lived with outreach on his mind. He embodied evangelism. The Greek word evangel means the good news. So an evangelist is somebody who carries the good news. And the good news is we have sinned and we're completely fallen short of the glory of God, but God sent his son Jesus Christ as a perfect sacrifice in order for us to experience the fullness of life and life eternal. And now we get to walk with him because he reached out to us. Is that clear? That's the message of the gospel. That's the good news. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve to be saved, but God steps into our mess and turns our mess into a message that will be carried out into the world. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, is that God meets us in the ugly. Good question, huh? Now, you're not ugly. I want to reassure everybody, okay? Turn to them again, because I don't want anybody leaving this place getting offended. That four-eyed Samoan big boy told me that I'm ugly. No, I'm not saying you're ugly, because God doesn't make trash, and he made you. Amen? So turn to three people around you. Just reassure them you ain't ugly. You're beautiful. I mean, if you need to sing it to them to help them out, if you need to go James Blunt on them, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. But how many of you know life isn't always beautiful, right? You go through stuff. Some of you in this room, don't worry, I'm not going to look for a show of hands, are walking through ugly times. There's some ugliness going on in our lives. Some of us are walking through ugliness and may not realize that we're walking through ugliness. But God meets us in our mess. We see this in the life of Jesus, right? We see this when the psalmist writes in Psalm 23, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord my God is with me. This is the promise that God gives us, that no matter what mess you're walking through, God is always with you. The enemy will try to tell you, no, no, there is no God. It's amazing how many atheists I talk to that shake their fist in anger and madness towards a God they believe doesn't exist. Then who are you angry at? I'm here to tell you today that God is with you, even in the mess. Even when it doesn't make sense, there's a reassurance of his presence in the midst of our ugly. When I think about the way that God would send his son Jesus. Now, remember this, guys. Some of us would find this hard to conceive in our minds or to see this, right? That Jesus was being worshipped and glorified in a place that had golden streets, pearly gates. If you read the book of Revelation, it's an amazing place, glorious. But you know what? He left the beauty of heaven to enter into time and history when he didn't have to and was born on the back end of Bethlehem. There's nothing beautiful about Bethlehem. Some of us in this room, I've been to Bethlehem. It's different. It's a lot different now. It's Palestinian territory now, but like, there's nothing special about Bethlehem. And even in that place that was not that special, he still couldn't find an Airbnb, still couldn't find a hotel. He had to be born in a manger, which, you know, a lot of images kind of romanticize, you know, like it was tidy, didn't stink. There was nothing beautiful about the manger. If you actually study the mangers of the day, they were actually caves. They're actually caves that stunk of animal waste, and this is how the King of all kings meets humanity in the middle of ugly, in the middle of not just stink, but stank. He met humanity in the middle of ugly. And then he walks in his life. I want us to notice this too. Jesus had to be sent out of Israel because King Herod had issued a decree to kill off the firstborn, so they escaped into Egypt. Yes, Jesus even was an immigrant, a refugee for a season. Came back into Israel. And then as he lived in Israel, he started his ministry at the age of, most scholars believe, around 30 years old. But he didn't just minister to those who were of authority and pomp and circumstance. No, he walked amongst the broken. He walked amongst those whom a lot of us in this room would not dare to touch or not dare to go to the places of which they dwell. He would walk right up to demoniacs and cast demons from them. Not just a guy that would have one demon, many demons. What's your name? Legion, because there are many of us. And he cast the demons out, and they went into the pigs who were nearby and fell off a cliff, right? First example of deviled ham that we have in the Bible. Terrible joke, but just roll with it anyway. I'm a father, that's a dad joke, that's okay. He'd hang out with beggars like Bartimaeus, who was a blind man, blind since birth, didn't even understand the concept of being able to see. Can you imagine? Like, for those of you who may work in the CBD here, just across the river, can you imagine you walk to work, and every time you walk to work, just near your office door, there's that same guy who's there. You might throw him some chump change, you know, like, I've got a little bit here, I'll just throw it. But then, you know, like, it's been a mark of, you work at the same place for like 20 years, and you see him there, and then one day you go to work, and he's not there. This is how much of a fixture he was on that corner with his cloak, collecting money. But when he understood that there was one who would come and meet him in the middle of his ugly and turn his life around, not just by giving him sight physically, but giving him sight spiritually to see that he was born for things that are much greater than the capacity that he had. And the Bible says that he took up his cloak, picked up his mat and started walking. See, that cloak was not just a cloak that he would clothe himself in, but that cloak represented his source of provision, because in those days, they would issue certain styles of cloaks that would deem you worthy to receive money that you would beg for. Jesus came, met him in his ugly, and turned his life around. He would meet where the prostitutes were. And when people were getting ready to stone them, Jesus would say, okay, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And then he would tell that prostitute woman, you go and sin no more. I've saved you. God meets us in our ugly. And no matter how ugly you may think your situation is right now, or the situations that you've been in, even the situation of the political, social climate of our nation and what's happened throughout this week, I've been grieving throughout the last 48 hours. I was just sharing with some of our leaders earlier today that one of the most ugliest situations happened in my nation of birth, New Zealand, Aotearoa. We'll talk a little bit about that right now, because how God wants us to live is to not be afraid of the ugly, because God himself has met us in our ugly. God's light shines best in the darkest of places. Can you imagine going into a lighting store and all the lights are on, and then you come and turn your light on and you're like, this is great, you know, like you can't even see the light. And it's easy, you know, to surround yourself with other Christians or to be in an environment like this and to feel like you got your shine on. But then when you're in the darkest place, when there is no other light, that's when light is most effective. It's kind of like this. I was sharing this with my worship team yesterday. How many of you have been in a situation, right, where you're driving in the car and you got the music up loud and you're singing along, like belting, like going hard in the paint, you know, like just singing loud. And then all of a sudden the music stops and you're still singing. And you realize that it wasn't that voice that you heard on the CD or the MP3 that was your voice. Your voice came to a moment of reality when the silence came and you were still going, singing in the key of H. Because it's in moments like that you realize, wow, this is the truth. I'm not saying y'all have ugly voices. Some of y'all stand, your promise for worship is make a joyful noise unto the Lord, because that's what it sounds like. I'm just saying, just being real, right? God meets us in our ugly. How many of you are thankful that God meets you, meets me in the middle of my ugly? I can think about times when I was younger and God meeting me in the middle of ugly situations, even as a Christian, right? Because how many of you know life doesn't get easier as a Christian? It actually gets harder, because before you're a Christian, before you follow Christ, you weren't tempted, you just did it. But now you've got the Holy Spirit guiding you through life. And I know we shouldn't sing R. Kelly songs anymore, but it's like my mind's telling me no. You know what I'm saying? And then we end up in ugly situations. But God, by his grace, still meets us in the middle of our ugly and says, I still love you. I'm not mad at you. Just come to me. So I love the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, right? Where he sees the son off in the distance. And it wasn't the fact that the son made it to his doorstep. He saw him in the distance and ran. Now, if you know anything about Israelite robes back in the day, it's amazing how today, you know, in sports, you know, when I was coming up in the 90s, I'm not going to be that guy. When I was coming up in the 90s, you know, the shorts used to be a lot longer. Now they come back to being short again. Still trying to figure that out. Skinny jeans and short shorts. It's the world coming to. But there was no thing as short shorts back in the day. Like the robes would come and like drag along the ground. So in order for, because the Bible says in Luke 15 that this father ran out to meet the son. So he had to pick up his robe, that which he, you know, again, held his identity as a rich father, picked it up and ran barefooted after his son. That's the way that God runs after us and meets us in the middle of our pigsty ugliness. But we've got to realize that it's ugly. The issue is that sometimes some of us like our ugly. We love our sin. We love to be mud swimmers. And God says, no, that's not what you were born for. That's not what you were designed for. I'm after you. I love you. Let's look at this example of the scripture that Mike read earlier. Luke 7, says in verse 11, soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain. This is the only place in the Bible that you read about this place. I had the opportunity to visit Nain, and again, it's just a typical town. There's nothing flash or special about it. It's just a small town in the northern part of Israel, near Galilee. And his disciples and a great crowd went with him. Now, when it says soon afterward, you should see what happened before. And Jesus, for those of you who remember, Jesus healed a centurion's son. And he healed the son because the centurion just said, no, you don't even need to come to my house. Just say the word and he'll be healed. And Jesus turned to his disciples and goes, can you, centurion, teach my class? Because I've been trying to teach these knuckleheads for a long time. He didn't say that. But the faith of the centurion, you know, just really got to his core. And he's like, man, he's healed. Taking care of him. By the time you get home, he'll be healed. And then afterwards, he goes to this town called Nain. There's a great crowd around him. I want you to imagine this, right? And he drew near to the gate of the town. And behold, a man who had died was being carried out. The only son of his mother. And she was a widow. So she had lost her husband. And now her only child had gone. And he was a young man. Can you imagine? Like, for those of you who aren't parents, I need you to understand the treachery of the thought that the parent would outlive their child. Because our job as parents, like we've been dedicating these children, these parents, is to create this environment for them to run and thrive in what God's called them to. So you can imagine the ugliness of the grief that she was dealing with at the time. Lost her husband, lost her son, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. So many witnesses. And when the Lord saw her, Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Now those things kind of sound oxymoronic, right? Like if he was compassionate, shouldn't he like, oh, you poor thing. God bless your heart. Compassion is different from pity. And I don't know if you've noticed this on social media, my friends, but the world is tired of us saying our thoughts and prayers are with you. The world is looking for us to move in compassion, not pity, to actually take action, to go visit the house of the broken rather than remote controlling some prayers and thoughts. I don't know what thoughts do. What can we do? And Jesus was moved with compassion. And he says to her, do not weep. Now, I need you to understand this too, because in Israelite funeral culture, it's very similar to some of the island cultures and Asian cultures in this room today. There's nothing quaint about the way that they cry. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, there's not, you know, like you watch a soap opera and then somebody dies and there's like a little tissue and just dab over here, like on the cheek, not even up by the eyes, just like a little touch. And they have, like in certain cultures, like I believe in some rural parts of Korea, they hire like professional wailers who like start the charge of crying in the procession. And these aren't like pretty cries. They're like, I don't even need this microphone. It's like, yeah! And there's this chorus of wailing. Some of y'all come from cultures like that, I'm just saying. Like, some of y'all, like, it's not pretty. And in Israelite rural culture, because again, Nain is a rural town in in the northern part of Israel, Galilee, near Galilee. A lot of wailing. You can imagine the emotional gravitas of what was happening at that time. And this is why Jesus says, okay, do not weep, because you are magnifying the issue. I'm here to magnify the Lord. My Father is about to take action here. See, compassion doesn't just sit with you in the pit. It believes God to help you out of the pit, but walking together out of that pit. And we see this in the example of Jesus. Now, I want you to check this out. This is where we're talking about outreach. Then he came up and touched the bier. Some of you are like, yeah, I've been to a funeral, a lot of beer there, hey, bro. No. Not talking about alcohol. Oh, Jesus had some beer, so let's touch the beer. No. The beer is the coffin, right? That which they put the dead body in. And I need you to understand this, because some of you will be like, oh, what? He just touched the wood. Again, some cultures in this room have open casket. How many of you have, like, in funerals, you have an open casket where you can see the body of the deceased because it's, you know, gone through the process of keeping it there? Some of us in this room are like, oh, I can't believe y'all do that. But Jesus didn't just look at the body. Jesus didn't just see the coffin. He touched the dead body. And check this out. And the bearers stood still. You know why they stood still, right? Because here was this reputed teacher of holiness who came and touched this young man's body. And then he had the nerve to say, young man, I say to you, arise. Can you imagine? Like, not only is he like, look at this, right? Leviticus 21, this is the law of which these people had adhered to. And this report about him spread through the country, the surrounding country. No, I'll get back to that. But he shall not go in to any dead bodies, nor make himself unclean, even for his father or for his mother. So in Levitical law, you can't even touch the body of your parents when they pass away. Another example of this in Numbers, whoever touches the dead body of any person shall be unclean for 7 days. Jesus broke this Levitical law. And that's why they stood still. He touched this young man and he said, get up. I believe it inspired Michael Jackson's Thriller music video. Like, he just came up. Like, he came up out of there. Can you imagine how it must have looked when dude popped up out the coffin? You can just hear the music in the background. Boom, boom. There's too much emotion to happen here. First of all, wah! Second, be quiet. Third, touch the body. Fourth, get up and walk. Are you crazy? Can you imagine the range of emotions that are happening here? And then lastly, hi guys! That is like a whole rainbow of emotions all within the space of like 20 seconds, like shocked, crying. Then all of a sudden, the nerve of this guy. Then all of a sudden, what are you doing? What? Get up and walk. Is he crazy? Oh, he's getting up and walking. Oh, it's crazy. Oh, it's crazy. What's happening now? Jesus met this young man. Jesus met this widow in the middle of her ugly and touched this young man. When Jesus enters a room and he touches you in the spirit, you come to life. You come to life. And so when we, as followers of Jesus, move out as the body of Christ, we need to be prepared to see this generation. Notice the age of this man. He was a young man. And that God is calling us to touch this generation and see them resurrected in the power of Jesus Christ and what God's called them to. Not from a distance, throwing stones at how ugly the situation is, how ugly the atrocities that happened in Christchurch on Friday. And just throwing, well, I'll judge this and talk about that and throw stones at this religion and this and that. No, we meet this generation in the middle of their ugly. And we see them resurrected in the power and the authority of what God has done. He's already done it. But he's looking for a faithful body, bride, building of Christ, the church, to come and say, we will take social responsibility for our nation. We will reach this nation. So there's no understanding of this. Remember, Jesus didn't come to break the law. He came to fulfill it. He didn't come to condemn it. He came to fulfill it. And he fulfills it by touching this generation. For those of you who are over the age of 25, when's the last time you prayed for somebody under the age of 25? You know, a big shout out to Mark and Adele and our team that are on campus. and doing youth ministry. Can we give it up for them? Those of you who are on campus, it's amazing the opportunity that God's given us to reach young people. When I see what's happening with my story, when I see what's happening with Silverbacks, I mean, it's crazy at Silverbacks. I see the photos, you can't even fit them in a panorama shot anymore because so many young people are being touched by what God is doing there. It's more than just physical fitness. That's just the bridge. When I see what, you know, Lily and the team are doing and preparing to do, when I see what's happening in our life groups, a lot of our life groups are reaching young people, and I don't take any credit for that. That's what God is doing because God has touched us and revived us. We have the opportunity to help reach others. And this is the heart of our church. So it's no wonder they responded like this, right? Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us. And God has visited his people." They saw God in action. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This report happens because Jesus shows up. Now, I mentioned this before. I'm just going to touch on this really briefly. But I think it's pertinent that God, I need to tell you this, and I know Mike can tell you this and Benson can tell you this, but I had a completely different message prepared for today. And then on Thursday, the Holy Spirit told me, no, you need to change direction of what I'm calling you to preach. So poor Benson had to work on my slides again and get this prepared. And then Friday, what happened in New Zealand happened. The atrocities of what happened. Now, I know not all of us are Kiwis, and some of you are like, well, you know, that's your issue. You're a New Zealander. Look, when part of the body of Christ grieves, we all grieve. And we are neighbors. We've fought in wars together. This is not a time to throw stones at those who are lost. They may be worshiping a God that we don't worship, but they're still searching for truth. And we as carriers of the truth have a responsibility to take it to them in love. And so there are many of us in this room today that have people of other faiths, in particular those who are of the Muslim persuasion, that are in our midst. And this is an opportunity. The time that we live in right now is an opportunity to meet them in the middle of what's happening right now, because it's ugly. What happened in Christchurch is ugly. And it really saddens me to see figures that are out there that would lambast what has happened because of migration, and to deem what has happened as a judgment of God, and then throw Bible verses out of context. So what's happened? We are not the sort of church, my brothers and sisters, that are going to sit idly by and just let that float by and give you 10 reasons how to raise more funds in the name of Jesus. No, we're not going to be that sort of church. If we're a church that's serious about outreach, we need to realize who's around us that God has called us to reach out to. They may not be Muslim. They might be Buddhist or Taoist. They may be atheist. But we can't be scared, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And it's not just our responsibility, but I begin to question the power of what God's done in our lives. If it doesn't transform you from the inside out, not just where it can be seen by your behavior, but where it can be seen in your love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is part of God and knows God. He or she who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is not the time to throw stones, because he was out without sin, cast the first stone. This is the time for us to put our stones down and be the hands and the feet of Jesus, and take this gospel, which has transformed our lives, and go beyond our selfish social media raven lifestyle and begin to engage in the lives of others. That's the sort of church that God wants us to be. And that's the sort of Christian God wants us to be. That's what he laid his life down for us, not just so that we can be forgiven of our sins, so that we can just walk the tightrope of staying holy, not holy, staying holy, not holy. The best way to grow in spiritual maturity is to reach out. You want to, Pastor Daddy, you got to give me another, you know, there's another class. Train me more. No, you want to mature? Make a disciple. Like, go out and reach the lost. Love somebody into the kingdom of God. Because the more you pour out, it's amazing how he pours into you. Supernatural energy. You come to life when you're living out the vision that God has for you. Self-check ourselves. Look at your social media feed. How many of those photos are just you? another angle of you. You look great. You look beautiful. But when are we going to meet somebody in the middle of their ugly and not take an Instagram photo about it with a filter with puppy dog ears to say, look what I did in the name of Jesus. See, Lord, diba? This ends now. This ends now. And we will be a church that will reach in, even though it seems like, oh, it's strange. Are you sure you want to do that? No, we're going to touch the beer. We're not going to touch the beer, but we're going to touch the lives of those who would be deemed untouchable. And I, as your pastor, commission you by the power of what the Holy Spirit is doing in this house, not because I'm doing it, but because the Holy Spirit wants us as a church to be a church that reaches out. And I know that that message is not popular. It doesn't fill churches. We can run a production. We know how to do that. We know, you know, like if we have more budget, we focus our budget on more lighting, more smoke machines, you know, train up more musicians so we can create a cool vibe, so we can out nightclub the next church. That's not what it's all about. We're about making disciples. We're about making disciples. That's the sort of church that God is raising us up to be. So for all our guests, welcome. We're so glad you could join us here. But this is as real as it gets. And this is, we're not the sort of church that will butter it up and leave you feeling good about, you know, becoming a better you. God doesn't want a better you. God wants a deader you so he can resurrect you to life.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.